From Luke chapter 14, our gospel reading this morning, Jesus said, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is our text. Pride goes before a fall. Pride goes before a fall. How many times have you watched that happen in the lives of other people again and again? How many times have you experienced it yourself? One moment you're headed for the best seat in the house, and the next moment you're sitting in the rafters or on the curb. The Holy Spirit tells us that we are to count others more significant than ourselves. And yet too often we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Pride is the original sin. Pride is what went before the fall, the one that ensnared Adam and Eve. Pride entered into their bloodstream and it got into their DNA, and we are their children. We are infected by the same ungodly pride. No one's immune. If we say we have no pride, we deceive ourselves and hang out a welcome sign for pride to show up. And there's nothing quite like the man who takes great pride in just how humble he is. It was pride that brought the devil down from his high place. Consider the devil. We know that he was an angel created by God and created good. You can consider him to be a groomsman, having a seat at the head table. But he wasn't satisfied. He wanted to be the groom. He wanted the glory and the honor and the kingdom and the bride for himself. And so he set out to woo her, to win her. He came down and met that bride in the garden, and he said to her, he tempted her to think only of herself. He told her that her eyes would be opened. He told her that she would become like God. He told her that she would know good and evil for herself. He might as well have said, "Look, Eve, you don't need the Lord. You can do better than him. You should have a higher place." And so she ate the fruit. She ate the fruit and she became wrapped up in herself, and Adam did the same. That's what pride does. Pride gets wrapped up in itself. It only sees me. It has eyes for no one else. "I'm the starting point," pride says. "I'm the center of the universe. Everything else must revolve around me. The only thing that matters is what I want, even if what I want is death and hell." And that's where pride would lead us. When Jesus went to dine at the house of the Pharisee in Luke 14, he noticed the pride in the room. There was so much pride in the room that it was practically bursting at the seams. He saw how everyone was jockeying for the best seats, how everyone wanted the position of honor. That is, everyone except for one man, the poor man with dropsy. That sick man knew better than to take the best seat. He wasn't going to go up to the head table, for here was a man swollen and grotesque, not with pride, but with the effects of his disease. That's what dropsy is, the body retaining fluids and swelling. And he knew exactly who he was. He's not beautiful. He's not popular. He's not rich, but he's alone, afraid, marred, an outcast, suffering the effects of sin. Here was a man who had nothing to give and nothing to claim. He wasn't there seeking honor. He didn't have his eyes set on the good seats. He had his eyes on one thing, one person. His eyes were on Jesus. And in Jesus, he found a door that was really open to him. In Jesus, he received a true invitation. He knew grace and mercy instead of condemnation. When the doors are truly thrown open, when all are invited to the feast, you know who will show up? The poor, the blind, the lame, the crippled, the sinful messes like you and me. We are the needy. We are the ones who have nothing to give and certainly nothing to boast about. Why are we here? Why are you here? To take the best seat in the house? No, you've come to receive the goodness and loving kindness of Jesus. Jesus is the bridegroom who came to win back his bride. He's the Son of the Most High who humbled himself by being born of a virgin and becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon a cross. He came from his blessed throne, salvation to bestow, that he might lift up those who have fallen, that he might pull us up, his brothers and sisters, out of the pit of sin and hell, that he might raise us from death to life. And so we come, we gather today, not in pride, but with our own form of spiritual dropsy, swollen and grotesque, with another week's worth of sin, with the pride by which we exalt ourselves and push others down, with all our failures and shortcomings. We come like that poor man with dropsy, in repentance. We bow our heads before our Lord and we confess, I, a poor, pitiful sinner. And that's exactly how we ought to think of ourselves. Not to wallow in it, not to beat ourselves up, but simply to be honest. Here we stand, ashamed of our pride, broken by our sin, unworthy of Jesus. And he does it again. He takes us. He takes you. He heals you. He sends you home forgiven and set free. No one is beneath his notice, no matter how disfigured that person might be with sin. No sin is too great. But your Lord stoops down to speak to you. I forgive you. I love you. You are mine. But that's not all. Jesus didn't just humble himself on the cross simply to send us back to the lowest table and the least honorable seats. He gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us what we have absolutely no right to. He invites us to a seat of honor at his table. So that he can do what? So that he can serve us. Friend, Jesus says, friend, I know you've come with your dropsy, your swollenness, your pride, your sin. Friend, I am here to forgive you. And I invite you to move higher up. Move higher up. Take my body and my blood. Receive the medicine of life everlasting. Eat the fruit that comes from the tree of the cross. For on the cross, he who was highly exalted humbled himself so that we who are humiliated may be exalted with him. The fact that Jesus noticed how the Pharisees chose the places of honor shows us something. Jesus was not in the position of being in the place of honor. He was watching everyone else duking it out for those seats. He watched it happen from a distance. Jesus didn't take the best seat. And you know, he could have. He should have. The highest place belongs to him. In every place where we are, the highest place belongs to Jesus. But instead, he chose to sit with us. The greatest became least. The Holy One took his place with us sinners so that we might sit with him at the head table. He made us his bride. That's what the church is. And the one time you can be absolutely assured of sitting with the groom is when you're the bride. Then you will be honored in the presence of all, in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. You are honored with an invitation to the best seat because of Jesus. Not by your own worthiness or merit, but because of what he has done. He opened the door of mercy to us by opening the door of the tomb, by defeating the sin and death, and giving us our life back again. And yet the life that Jesus has for us and invites us into is a new life. It is a better life. Life as it was always meant to be. Not with hearts full of pride, but full of love. Not with minds full of sin, but forgiven. Not with lips that gossip, but with lips that pray. We can't fix the sin and the pride and the messes of our lives, but here with Jesus is the healing and forgiveness that we need. The healing and forgiveness that we can't live without. It's the life that became yours in holy baptism as the Father made you his child and promised you a future and a kingdom that have no end. The words of Jesus about being brought low and being raised up aren't just a lesson in humility, and they aren't just a lesson about how to handle dinner invitations. They are the gospel. They are good news for you, showing the wonderful work of Jesus for you. Our Lord took a dropsy man, healed him, and sent him on his way. And so he does for you. Taking you in holy baptism, healing you with his absolution, sending you out with his food, strengthened and blessed. And where do we go? We go from here out into our callings, into our vocations. I don't just mean our jobs, but into the lives and relationships that he's given to us, that we may do the same for others. Your Lord meets you here with his forgiveness, and then he sends you into your home, into your school, into your work, into your family and friendships, so that you can love and serve them. Not because you have to, but because that's what the love of God in Christ Jesus compels us to do. The gospel comes to us, and then the gospel lives in us. And that's what the gospel calls moving higher up. Not moving higher up so that you are in a position of power, but moving higher up by serving those around you. When a servant would kneel down in Jesus' day to wash the feet of his master, the world called that moving down. But Jesus came and said, "I will wash your feet." He took the lower place. He came to be the servant of all, even of you. When we pridefully try to move ourselves into the higher place, we simply sink deeper into sin. But when we love others, when we forgive others, when we serve others, others who have fallen and collapsed in sin, in shame, in difficulty, and in trouble, when we love them, that's what it means to be the Son of God and to be in his place. As sons and daughters of God in Christ Jesus, we can now freely take our place, which is where? With Jesus, with the least and the lowest, and with those in need. And there's no higher place to be. And when the things of this world end for us, whether that is the end of a long and full life or a life ended sooner than one would wish by accident or tragedy, when our lives here end, we will enter that heavenly sanctuary. We will go to be with our bridegroom at his unending feast, where even now he is waiting for us. And if you want to picture that in your mind, just think of the last wedding you were at. Think about the bride standing at the entrance of the church and looking at her groom, and the groom standing in the front and looking back at his bride with joy and love for her. So it will be in that day for you and for me, as the Spirit leads us to Christ Jesus, and Jesus brings us to the Father as his own beloved bride, forgiven and loved. And that will be the day when all sin, when all pride, when all division and heartache and pain and tears will be gone. Then we who have suffered here with him, we who have lowered ourselves and made ourselves least with him, then we will be glorified with him forever and ever. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. Lord, in your mercy, we humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Bless Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, the students, faculty, and staff, that many future pastors and deaconesses would be trained up to serve Christ and his church. Lord, in your mercy. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, to maintain righteousness and hinder and punish wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Watch over those in the armed forces, especially Stephen, Emily, and their family, keeping him safe in his deployment and enabling him to carry out his work with integrity and faithfulness. Grant the same to Anthony, Emily, Brandon, Scott, Jamie, Tim and Kay, Jake, Ryan, Lucia, Jake, John, Mario, and Tom, wherever duty calls. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our homes and families and be with all expectant mothers and the children they carry, including Rachel, Stephanie, Jamie, and Catherine. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, chronic illness and pain, or any other adversity, especially Jeff suffering from blood clots, Gwen in her old age, Rick for strength and healing, Carol in her recovery, and John with his health. Lord, in your mercy. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Lord, in your mercy. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. And grant especially your help and success to Luther Classical College as they begin this academic year and their work that you have given them. We ask your blessing on the faculty, the students, and all who are involved. Lord, in your mercy. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls with all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.